How about you say it wrong? You assured me you were supposed to look at that. Before I put it on, I said, David, is this thing on? Yeah, it's on. Yes, all right. Looks good. Looks good. Yes, all right. So like Adam, that woman you give me. She's the one give me that apple. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just going to start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and arose again. In other words, because of his love for you, that ought to be the motivating factor in every believer's heart to live not unto themselves, but unto him that died for them. That ought to be your motive. Of whatever you do for the Lord, it ought to be because of his love that he had for you. Why do I do what I do? For my glory? No, I want for his glory because of what he's did for me. And if that's not your motive, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't care how much money you've gave. I don't care how much time you put in it. I don't care about your works. If that's not your motive, your work will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. We don't live unto ourselves. We live unto the Lord. The love of Christ motivates us, constrains us, guides us, carries us along out of gratitude for what he's done for me. John, put it this way. And it's not a dispensational passage, it's a principle. We love him because he first loved us. And he loved us not expecting anything in return. It's an unconditional love. And it's not based upon us being returning something to him. He just loved us. While we were enemies, he died for us. When we were without strength, he died for us. And so that love that he had for us when I was unlovable is my motivating factor in my service for the Lord. And it's got to be yours or it's up in smoke. Now look on. Verse 15 again, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and arose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, his earthly ministry, his after the flesh, the things he did. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, because we don't know Christ after the flesh, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The old things is the things of Christ after the flesh. Now, I'm dealing with the context. I'm not dealing with the way the religious system and the preachers preach the thing. They preach it that if any man be in Christ, old things has passed away, your old lifestyle, your old this, your old habits, all this passed away. Behold, no. I'm dealing with the context of the thing. Knowing Christ after the flesh is the old things that pass away. Now watch it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What are the new things that become new? Well, look at some things, what he's talking about. Notice he said in the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 9, our works, in verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive, everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good, the things, good things or bad things. All these things, that's something that's new. They never had heard about that. You'll find, look in where we talked about the death in verse 15. We're to live unto him that died and rose, the resurrection. The gospel of Christ is the new things. All things that God is doing today is what we're to be like. All things has passed away. What? Knowing Christ after the flesh, the kingdom, and all of that. We're not concerning ourselves with that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. We don't know Christ after the flesh. All things have become new. We see him in a new light. We see him as the head of the body of Christ. We see him as the glorified Lord. We see him as the one man, the mediator between God and man. These are things that's become new that was revealed through the Apostle Paul. And if you don't get Paul's epistles, you would never know about them things. So what does the religious system do? They follow Peter instead of Paul. And so they stay in the old things, and they never come unto the new things. Brother Kevin talking about next week dealing with the knowledge of the truth. People never come to that knowledge. Why? They're still back there in the old things that is become old. Now, I want to talk to you about let me go on and finish, read verse 18. And all things are of God. The new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry of reconciliation is a ministry to every believer in the body of Christ. You have that ministry. It's not something it's not a gift. It's just that. It's a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You have that word, a testimony, that you're reconciled. Everybody that's saved has a testimony. If you don't have a testimony, it's because you're not saved. Now, you didn't wake up some morning and just decide, well, I'm saved. You didn't grow into salvation, and when you accumulated so much knowledge about salvation, you say, well, I've arrived, and now I'm saved. I was saved on September the 3rd, 1971. That day in my life, let's just say that's today. And it was at about 11 o'clock one Friday night, that day, that line there, that's that day. My life began by care, and somewhere it's going to end over there. Whether it be by the rapture, or whether it be death, or whatever, one of these days is appointed when the man wants to die, and after this the judgment. But this is the day. Now, I didn't say date. Some people might not remember the date, D-A-T-E. They might not remember that it was in the month that it was in. They might not remember what day of the month. But bless your souls, they will remember the day. Over here, before that day, was I saved? So I can put old man. Up to that point, our old man, sinner. Now people get all bent out of shape when you do stuff like this because it bothers them. Well, if it bothers you, then do something about it. Don't get mad at me. Do something about it. After that day, there was a new man. Instead of a sinner, I become a saint. I also become a son. Now, when did that day take place in your life? It's not a day of baptism. Forget the baptism. That didn't put you in nothing. It's not walking the aisle and joining a church. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not switching religion. All religion does is, religion is what you do. We're interested in what the Lord did. Now, are you saved? If you're over here, you're saved. If you're over here, you're lost. There's life over here. Over here is death. Old man, sinner, lost, death. Up to that day. Now, if that day never happened, I mean, folks, I preached 2 years when I was this. I went 2 years before that day. And I preached the gospel. I knew about the death, burial, resurrection. But I never believed it for myself. I never trusted it. I never saw the need. Now, I'd get down and I'd say, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. And I always had that little word if in there, you know. If I'm lost. If I'm saved, Lord, let them sing Amazing Grace today. And oh boy, when they sung Amazing Grace. Now, what's the odds of going to church within a month and they not sing Amazing Grace? And I always was looking for a crutch because I'd get so miserable, you know, and I'd want something to pump me up. And I'd always looking for something that try to give me assurance. But after that day, you know who my crutch is? The Lord Jesus Christ. A new creature. Now, I want to look at this thing about a new creature. And I'm going to present it to a lot, probably different than you might have heard it. But let's look at something about this creature. Now, people say, well, it should have been translated creation, and you look at it as a new creation. But I'm going to use it as a creature this morning. Now let's try them. Turn with me and look at this thing in, go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Now, I want you to notice, and we're going to try to stay within the context. In Romans chapter 1, he's talking about, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And that's every atheist in the world, and that's everybody in the world, and that's those that's on Lower Salab, over yonder, that is in the jungles over there, that's never heard. I mean, they are without excuse. Now, you know how I know that? Because verse 19 says, "For God hath showed it unto them." They see the creation, and God's Holy Spirit shows to them in their heart that there is a Creator. And these people say, "I don't believe in God," are lying through their teeth. They don't want to believe in a God. It ain't that they don't want no God. They don't want to be under no authority of the Lord. And they don't want to believe in a God. Because if they have to believe in a God, then they're going to have to answer to it. And they think if they don't believe, they're not going to have to answer. And they got a great day of coming, haven't they? And that's mean of me, but sometimes I see some of them waiting, talking about there ain't no God and all this, and I want to be right there. And whenever they stand before Him and they get down on their knees and they bow down before Him and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the glory of God the Father, I want to be there like that old Lie to Me show. I want to look right in their face. What do you think now? They will bow. They will confess. Now look on. He said in verse 21, he said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And you'll notice that it's an image of these things. They don't worship the live one. You see, a beast, you don't have to have a beast very long, and you're going to realize he's a beast. And you're going to do things that a beast does. So we just make an image of this beast. "Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, I believe that I will use that creature, worshipped and served the creature, is that dude right there. I mean, if we are a new creature, then before that day, I must have been an old creature, wasn't I? And the people go into idolatry, they're worshiping some image, and it's their glory in their self. And they serve and worship the creature, their self, the old man that they are, instead of the Creator. And that's where we're at today. People want to be like Eve. Want to be like God. Me and Bob was talking about that by Johnny. That's what religion wants you to clean up your act. be like God. Well, we're little gods. We're a God within ourselves. The creature. Turn with me to Romans. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice in Romans chapter 8, let's just read verse 38. Let's read verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other, what? Now tell me something. What other creature of? Shall be what? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There he lists all the principalities and powers, things present, things to come. No height, no death, nor any other creature. Whatever creature. Bless your soul. You hear people all the time say, well, you can separate yourself from God. That's that old man, that old creature. Paul said, there ain't no other creature can do it. Even you, even the old creature you are, your old man, can't separate yourself. Look back in the passage. He said in verse 18, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's at the rapture of the church. The old man, the creature, waiting to become the sons of God. Our vile body changed, fashioned like unto His glorious body. The manifestations of the sons for the creature was made subject to vanity. Now, what's vanity? It's worthless, useless. Subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Why was it subject to vanity? Folks, what is Paul saying? I mean, this old man is vain, subject to vanity. Why? It's not the glory. That shall, verse 18, he said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And what we have on this earth, and while we're living in this old man's body, and we're in this old creature's body, this is not the glory. People think that the glory is in the buildings, and the hoofing, and the hollering, and the miracles, and all that. That's not the glory when we're manifested as the sons of God. This ain't where we're going to find glory at. It's not something where we're going to feel something. People go to church to feel good. I don't come here to feel anything. I come here to study and preach and to teach and to hear exhortations of the Word and teaching of the Word and the fellowship among the believers and encouragement and all of these things, waiting for that day when Jesus Christ shall come. Look what he said in verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's in glory. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and people use this creature as creation. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm using it, folks. Your old man is an old creature. And I'm waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm waiting for that glory. Look what he said. Hang on to Romans and come over to Colossians. Notice what he says in Colossians there. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him, where? In glory. Mortify therefore your members, the old man, which are upon the earth. That word mortify is put to death. We died. We're dead. He said back in Romans in chapter 6. He said in Romans chapter 6 that we died. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, like Christ, reckon ye are also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am in Christ. The old man is dead. The old creature was subject. The old creature is corrupted. The old creature indeed is rotten, filthy. Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh, that is in my flesh. Nothing. He said, when I do good, the evil is always present with me. He said, the things that I want to do, I find not. But that I don't want to do, that I hate, that's what I find I'm doing. I'm doing the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I can't find the power to do it. What is it? But sin that dwelleth in me, this old man is dead. It's been put to death. You're to reckon it to be dead. You're to put it to death and live unto God because of His love for you. And if you're not doing that, you're not glorifying the Lord. Don't make no difference to me what you do. If you're not having that attitude, you're not glorifying the Lord. Set your affections on things above. Let's try it again. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, notice in verse 12. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Isn't that something? Make a fair show in the flesh. Isn't that what religion wants to do? Make a fair show in the flesh. I was telling some guys about an experience I had. We went to a service one time. And they was up there singing. Maybe Kevin went with us. Robbie, Allen, I don't remember who all went. Well, we went to a service. I remember June going. And I was sitting back on the back pew. And there was two guys standing over there leaning against the wall. And they were singing. Choir up there singing something. And they were sitting there. And one was leaning like this against the wall. And I'm here, right here, watching them. Just almost close to them flyers. And then there was another, and he was standing there, and they was doing this. And they was just talking. This one over here, he stopped just a minute, and he went, "Woo!" And then turned right back there and went back to talking. I declare unto you, I lie not. God, my conscience bearing me witness. And he did that about two or three times. That is a fair show of the flesh. What goes on in a life is not exalting the flesh. Well, the preacher preached. And preached about babies. Crying babies. You know, whine about this, whine about that. nothing about the gospel. And they sung, it had to be 10, 15 standards of just as I am without one plea. And I looked at June, and I said, if they sing one more standard, I'm going. She said, where? I said, out the door. I ain't going up there. All that stuff. Look what he said. For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. You could put baptism in the thing, same thing. Why? If circumcision, which is of the law, under the law, so is baptism. And that's what they use baptism for today, is to make a fair show of the flesh and to brag about how many converts they had and how many we baptized. Look what he said. Only lest, now watch it, constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Well, Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 said, you're cursed if you don't continue in all things whatsoever the law saith. But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Glory is boasting. Well, we had 15 circumcised today. Now, you know why they don't preach circumcision? Because baptism is a lot less painful than circumcising people. So, hey, we ain't got nothing to do with that now. But the point is, it's a fair show of the flesh. It's men glorying in you doing some kind of physical work that can be seen and they can brag about it and con people. But look on. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You want to boast in something? You boast in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. We glory in that cross. That's the love of Christ. For God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I thank God for the cross of Christ, that He is the sacrifice. He's the only one that God will accept. Look what He said. Now verse 15 is my verse. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new what? Creature. The creature that you are. You're either the old creature, the old man, or you're the new creature, the new man. Now, which is it? Notice something. I want to give you some things about if you're in Christ. This over here, when that day in 1971, when I called upon the Lord, I knew I was going to hell. I knew I was lost. And like I said, I was miserable. And I mean, I was at the end of my rope. And I felt like, in my heart, that if I left, that was it. Now that's the way I felt, that there'd be no more opportunity, that was it. It was either get saved or end up in hell. And I was scared. You understand, I was afraid. I was scared. And the best that I could do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't know nothing. I got down and I said, Lord, I'm lost and I want to be saved. And I want you to save me. And I knew that you died for me, but Lord, I'm lost. Save me. And He did. I was put in Christ. By the Spirit. Now look at this thing. I don't have about a few couple minutes. Look First Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Then by the Spirit I was baptized into this one Spirit now, the Holy Spirit. I was baptized into, well, let me just do it like this. I was come out of the old man. I was put into that new man, Christ Jesus. In the Jesus Christ, that day, that's the dividing line. Then now notice something that happened in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Then am I complete in Christ? If I'm in Christ, I'm complete. Is there anything else I need to do? When did I get into Christ? That night, that day, the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, by one Spirit I was baptized, and that word baptism is identification. Now look at the thing. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body. All right, that's the one body right here, the body of Christ. This body is one. Now, it don't make no difference. There's one body. And it's everybody that's ever trusted Christ that's had the day that they saw themselves lost and trusted in what He did for them. They are placed into that body. I don't care, Methodist, Presbyterian, whoever, Baptist, it don't matter. If they trusted Christ as their Savior by one Spirit, they're in Christ. Now, verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit, even you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the baptism we read about in Corinthians. Turn with me to chapter 5. In this body, we're not only complete in Him, but we become His identity. We have His identity. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice what He said. Verse 31, for this cause, talking about a man. Shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, you that are married in here, you still got two bodies, right? Huh? Dan, you in your body. Ronnie's in hers. What's he talking about? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Well, in Genesis, you'll find that he, verse 5, chapter 5, he said, and he created Adam. Male and female created he him. And he called their name Adam. Mrs. Adam, Mr. Adam. Adam. And bless your soul, the woman at marriage takes the identity of the man. Are you there? Now, the women's movement wants to change all of that, but that don't change nothing. God set the thing up. Ladies, your name, before you took your husband's name, Whose name was it? Was your daddy a man? It ain't that God has anything against you, ladies. You take the male's name. You take his identity. Do y'all see that? When you are baptized into this body, you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You take his identity so that God sees you. He sees his son. When he looks at you, he doesn't see this side of you. He sees the new creature that you are. He sees you in Christ. Now let me close with this. Look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? Y'all ain't there? Verse 17, I'm sorry. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You become one spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find in verse 6, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter that there was wrote down. Hebrews is about the New Testament, New Covenant, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Giveth life to the letter. You know what that Spirit, little s, it has to do with the inner spirit, the spirit of man. It has to do with your spirit, the spirit, the attitude of the New Testament. Notice this glory. I don't have time to go through all of it, but the glory in verse 9, for if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, that would be the law, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. That's the gospel. That's the ministration of righteousness, is that this body is a body of righteousness, and it's the righteousness of God that He gave you. It was put to your account, and you're righteous because you're in Christ. And there is nothing that you need to do, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Your identity. Now, what are you to do? Well, you're to reckon this old man to be dead. Quit, you know, he's dead. And live not unto yourselves, but unto the Lord that died and give you all of this. All right. And cut it off there. He doesn't cut it off.